Once upon a time, there was a thought. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing, here in Campo, California, with the thought for today. Once upon a time, there was a thought. Once upon a time, there was a thought. And the thought was thought. And it was out into the vastness of the nothingness and the allness. And it was just thought. And the thought thought, hey, I'd like to be more than a thought. I would like to be a object. I don't know what an object is, because there are no objects around me, because I am the first thought. And I'm thinking myself as the first thought, and I'm the first thought. But, okay, now, what would I like my thought to be? Okay. Now, I have no dictionary, I have no language, I have no way of saying vastness, or the tininess, or the bigness, or the smallness, or any of those things. I can only say what is. So, here I am, thought. Now, as thought, I am the only and all thought. And as the only and all thought, I am everywhere thought. I am everywhere being thought. I am everywhere thought. So, because I thought that. And I am thought. Okay. Now, I create the universe out of my thought. And I create it to be all sorts of neat things. Before I create the universe to be anything, I think it to be what I create it to be. So, I create myself to be me, and then I am me. Now, I cannot be something that I did not think myself to be. Now, I think myself to be a happy person, a thoughtful person, a joyous person, whatever, but I have no comparison or nothing to have that in relation to, because there's no other thought. So I think, okay, I'll create a lot of other thoughts. Every thought, naturally, will be exactly like me. Every thought will be naturally just like me. Here. Every thought will be naturally just like me. And because every thought is going to be naturally just like me, every thought is going to be my duplicate. But when my thoughts start thinking, they are no longer me. They are now themselves. And they are thinking what they're thinking. Now, they only know about what I am, so that's all they can think is what I am, because that's what I think, and they think, and they think what I think. But do they have an environment? Are they into a vast universe of expression? Are they in a universe? Have we created worlds? Have we created other thoughts? Have we created other people? Have we created other atmospheres? Have we created bodies? What have we created? Now, each one of these things is being created and comes up with its own uniqueness. Mm-hmm. And the farther away it gets from the original thought, the farther away it gets from its original purity and integrity. Now, that doesn't mean its original purity and integrity is not there. It only means that it's not aware of it, because it's aware of all of its other creation. And it starts thinking that its creation is the ultimate, that its creation is the essence of all that's good. And instead of thinking that its creation is just something not separate, but something unique out of the allness, it thinks its creation is the allness. And it starts worshiping its creation, And because it worships its creation, it goes away from its original purity and integrity and no longer does that. Well, that's just a little schema of what we do with our thinking system. And we think that we haven't created our world before we were born. Are we silly? Are we silly? Okay, now, we create ourselves in whatever pattern we like. And in creating ourselves in whatever pattern we like, what we do is we create ourselves thinking that these things are necessary. So, let's bypass the fact that our creation is kind of dramatic and beautiful, that we create a fish, for instance, and the fish itself has thousands of eggs, squirts them out, you know, and we call that caviar, you know, and they squirt out all these eggs, and they squirt them out in whatever environment they are in, and along come the male fish with their sperm, and they go and squirt it out on top of all these eggs. Well, now, thousands and thousands of eggs with thousands and millions of sperm, and they become little eggs, little fish. Okay, now, isn't that fascinating? Mm-hmm. Isn't that fascinating? Mm-hmm. Right, now, think of how other animals do it. Other animals do it on a one-to-one basis, so to speak. And other animals do it interestingly. Now, what does a microbe do? What does a bacteria or a virus do? It splits itself. It splits itself, chum, 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 and, you know, makes more out of itself, out of itself. Now, isn't that fascinating? Now, if it is in an environment where it's beneficial for it to do that, that's great. But if it's in an environment where it takes away the good of another by doing that, then that's not necessarily so good. But all of these things come from what? They come from our thought, our original thought. Now, is it too late in the game, these billions and zillions of years later, that creation, you might say, established itself on this particular globe? Is it too late to return to our original purity and integrity? Is it too late to visualize who and what we really are? Now, who and what are we really? Now, let's just go on the other direction from there. And let's look at people. And people scream and rant and pull their hair and get up unhappy with everything and just say, oh, it's crazy. Oh, 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 I'm going mad. I'm going mad, you know. And what are they doing? They're giving up control of their mental powers. They're giving up control of their thought. They're saying in their thought that they're having a problem. Okay, now, so we know mentally that if you are hurting somewhere and you take a hammer and you hit somewhere else on your body, then you forget that you're hurting where you hurt and now you're hurting a new place. Now, why not just not hurt where you're hurting instead of hurting in a new place? But we keep wanting to hurt ourselves in a new place. So we create drugs, we create pills that help us to relax, help us to forget the hurt, hurt somewhere else of course, but forget the hurt and no longer have that hurt be a bother to us. But what are we doing? We are opening up the venue of having hurt somewhere else. And that hurt somewhere else is in what happens when you drink alcohol. Alcohol causes you to be uninhibited. You do not have the inhibitions that you have trained into yourself to make yourself a valid, viable human being. And so, yeah, that's nice. It's nice. It's nice to forget your problems and forget all your pains and forget everything. Just drink it away, you know. And then the head comes in the morning. Well, so this wasn't always too cool. So the pharmaceutical profession or the creative scientists go out and create pills, which are drugs, And these pills cause you to be unaware. They cause you to be untouched. They cause you to be immune to the hurt. Okay, now that's fine for a moment, but you got to come back and face it again. Because it didn't make the thing go away. It didn't make the hurt go away. It didn't make the problem go away. It didn't make the change. That's still there. All it made you was you didn't give a damn. you're untouched by it. Untouched because you were inebriated. You were out of sync with it, you know. Okay, now, this is all fine and dandy. And we're in a world of almost three-quarters inebriation. We really are. We're inebriated by all of the things that we do to help us forget the problems that we have, the hurt that we have. And a mother has such pain with her husband who's not earning enough money, and the kids need this and they need that, and she needs this and she needs that, and this isn't happening. And so she watches the television, and that's her pill. And she drifts away into the event of the movie or the theater or the television or whatever, and forgets all about it. But she has to come back to it. So then she goes to her doctor, medical doctor or psychiatrist, and they give her a pill to help her to not be so concerned. Blah, da, 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 you know. And so she's not concerned. But the day of reckoning always comes. Because either you start being concerned or you need bigger pills. Bigger pills to make you forget more completely. And pretty soon you're so psychotic, you're so out of it, that you're not even a human anymore. Much less a divine. Your divine is always still there. Your original purity and integrity are always still there. But you have, by the accession of pills, caused yourself to no longer feel responsibility for your world. And now, we had a student the other day, and we told her that in our lessons and the courses, that before you come to this dimension, you know what you're doing. You are choosing the body, the home, the type, the experiences. You choose the things that you're going to have. So you choose to be in the body of Daniel Vanetti. And so in the body of Daniel Vanetti is a mama and a papa and two brothers and sister too, maybe, you know, two brothers. And you're living in some strange, faraway country, you know. And so you're raised in that area. And so you're ticked off because your dad doesn't do everything for you that you want him to do, and that your mom doesn't do everything for you that you want him to, and that your brothers think that you're a creep because you're doing things that they wish they could do and they aren't doing it, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And so, you see, and then you have a mental attitude. You really don't like yourself. So you start doing things in opposition to others rather than in delight in who you are and what really turns you on. But you're doing it because it pisses your brothers off, and so you're going to do anything you can to make them unhappy. And it makes your mother feel a little unsure about you, you know, and you just love playing the game because you like to tickle her fancy like that and what have you. And so you do these things. And so then you train yourself to be a businessman. You train yourself to be a mathematician, you train yourself to be all sorts of things. And so, you diddle-daddle at this, and you diddle-daddle at that, and nothing is really turning you on. And then you go off onto something else, and you're a genius at it, because you're just a genius at anything you do. And then, when the excitement wears off of that, you say, well, let's see, what else shall I do? You have no responsibility to stay with anything, and you shouldn't have responsibility to stay with it. You have no responsibility to stay with something just because you were there or you did it and you did it well. You now say, I need something exciting to go on in my life. I need something to tickle my fancy. So, now, let's go back to before Daniel came to this life. And Daniel was just nothing. in the allness. And he decides that he must be born. How? Wow! What? I'm not smart enough to tell you that, but it's there. So then Daniel says, okay, he's pretty smart. We all are. And he goes into the ready room. And he stands in the ready room, and he says, let's see, you know, I'm going to go on planet Earth, you know, because you've got lots of opportunity, lots of dimensions. I'm going to go on planet Earth, and I'm going to go in the 21st century, and I'm going to go into the European area, and I'm going to have mother and father and two brothers and a moderate lifestyle, you know, which is very comfortable. But I am going to be something very special. I am going to be a genius and know I'm a genius. That's who I am. Is it?
Yes.
I'm going to be a genius and know I'm a genius.
Yes.
Now, a lot of people are genius and they don't know it. And they don't tell themselves that when they come on. And so they tell themselves they're stupid or that they're poor or that they're limited. But it's because that's a game they want to play. You just want to always have enough money to do anything you want to do and just have fun and go here and there and do this and get your toes burned now and then. But that's all part of the game. Okay, now. So we told this lady that she chose, before she came here, the experience that she had. And she did not want to agree with that because she said, I would not have chosen the unhappiness that I have. And we told her, it's not unhappiness. You chose the challenge that would say to yourself, hey, I can change anytime I want. Anytime I want, I can change to be anything I want to be. I can change any moment I want. Now we look at Daniel. Daniel was a banker. He decided to change from being a banker to being a webmaster. And so instantly, he knew all about webs. And with the ego that he has, he was able to sell it to anybody. And then he went on from that to being a lover. And he sold that to anyone he wanted to sell it to. And then he sold that to being a caring husband or caring father, you know. And he sold that until he got tired of that. And you see, all of these things were wonderful, beautiful dramas and things in his life. But Daniel is like at the point of the female fish laying the eggs and the male fish coming along sending the sperm up there, a billion female fish, a billion eggs that is, and a billion sperm, and a billion fish. Okay, now, that's not as exciting as it sounds, because that means there's a billion thoughts in the egg, a billion thoughts in the sperm, and a billion thoughts in the little fish themselves. And each one of the fish develop into something. Some want to be food immediately, some want to be bigger fish, and some want to do whatever. Some want to be the mama fish and the papa fish and all these things. And so, what's happening? Then along comes one fish. And it's clinging to the edge of the river. And it's watching all the other fish going by, and it's afraid to let go. It sees all these things going by, and it says, oh, what marvelous beings those are that are swimming there and doing those things. And then all of a sudden, the fish lets go. And boy, as he beat against the rocks, and as he twisted and turned by the rapids, until eventually he learns to flow with it. Instead of fighting it, he just flows with it. And he has a whole new life, dynamically new, by his choice, by letting go. He could have hung on. He could have hung on to the old and remained just a fish on the edge of the river, you know. But he let go. Now, we have that same privilege. We have that same privilege of letting go of what we visualize the past to be, flowing in the now, never knowing where it's going to take us, but flowing in the now and having the most beautiful adventure you could ever imagine, because it's all very good. It's all very wonderful. It's all very perfect. Just waiting for us to say, here I am, world. What's the next game? What's the next adventure that we're going to have? You know? And like Jonathan Livingston Seagull, when he went into heaven, he said, Sully, where is everybody? I thought heaven would be flocked with seagulls, you know. And then he said, I mustn't judge heaven the moment I enter it. And so it is with us. We mustn't judge the areas that we enter. Just flow with it. Flow with all the magic and all the wonder and all the mystery of you being a thought. And that thought, never thought by anyone else before, is a unique, special, beautiful thought. It can be the thought that says you're a genius in anything you do. And of course that's true. It can be a thought saying you're immortal, you know, and that's true. It can be a thought that says, I am a tiger, whole and perfect all the time, doing anything I want to do. I am invincible, you know, and you are. But you, not must, but must is what you must do. You must have a thought if you will have a response. And if you have thoughts that you admire and thoughts that you would like to live in your life, you will have them if you are able to make them yours. And how do you make them yours? You make them yours by affirming them. You make them yours by living them. You make them yours by being them. And because they already are yours, they're your original purity and integrity. Your original purity and integrity is the unbelievable ability to express everywhere and everything and do it now. And that's who you are. That's who you are right now. Anything you want to be. Whatever thought goes through your mind. Just make sure that you have one thought. Because conflicting thoughts will cause you all sorts of trouble, you know. They drag you away from your primary aim, your goal, your direction. And they're not bad. They're just dragging you away. Now, maybe that's the thought you want to be. Maybe you want to be a Marine, and you want to be straight and tall, and you want to serve your country, and you want to be proud and wear that uniform and do those great things. And that's great. That's great. Or maybe you want to be the President of the United States. I mean, how... To be honest with anybody, who would want to be the President of the United States? That's a busy, busy job. My goodness. And Obama, you think to yourself, who would have ever thought he would be, that he'd be the President of the United States? I mean, everything was against him. But he used everything that was against him to be for him. And he went out and he says, this I believe, this I do. This is my conviction. This is my thought, my original purity and integrity. This is who I am. Now, we can do that with anything in our life if we want to. And we can have anything in our life if we want to. And it is actually already ours. It's just that we open our eyes. And when we open our eyes, there it is. And we don't have to prove ourselves to anybody. We don't have to be different or be whatever anybody else wants us to be. Just be ourselves and have fun. Life is really quite wonderful. Once upon a time, there was a thought. And that thought became all that you are. And another thought became all that I am. And billions and zillions of thoughts become all that everyone is. And we live eternally. We may use this body eternally if we get our act together, but otherwise we'll shift between bodies and bodies, because like some people like a fur coat in the wintertime and they like a pair of swim trunks in the summertime and things like that. And you say, what happened to your beautiful fur coat? Well, it's summertime, you know. What happened to your swimsuit? I like to go naked, you know. Oh, how about that? You must be from Scandinavia. Yes, that's right. Every little bit of sun we get in Scandinavia, we soak up in our bodies because we know how valuable it is, how wonderful it is. But you see, be yourself. Be your thought. Because once upon a time there was a thought. And that thought still is you, unchanged. You merely put a few things around the outside of it that try to show it off in a different way. But pretty soon you get down to the bare bottoms. And when you do, it's pretty nice. Have a wonderful day, and know that I love you. I love you.
I love you.
I love you.
I love you.
I love you. Oh.